You go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, we'll be reading verses 25 through 29, just to establish a background, a point that we want to bring out about a binding that is important. Matthew 12 and verse 25. I will read, and then you will, as we go down through the passage and complete the reading to verse 29. Matthew 12 and 25. Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. You read verse 26, please. And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man? That's what I want to preach to you about for a short while here today. Bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Praise God. I'm thankful that there is the potential and the power of victory that God puts within us. And as we keep obeying him, Brother Bartlett brought that out so strongly, obeying him, we will see the results that God wants to give us. Amen. You may be seated. Now, more than likely, if I were to ask for a response of who comes to your mind as a Bible character when we mention strong man, no doubt, there is a name with six letters, beginning with an S, that would pop into your mind almost immediately. A strong man? Oh, Samson. And Samson, no doubt, would fit the criteria of what a strong man would be and would perform. Carrying off the gates of the city, destroying or killing a lion, so many deeds, destroying 1,000 of his enemies, so many deeds that would, in fact, point out that, yes, here is a strong man. Now, the repetition, however, in the Word of God is an enlightening aspect about Samson. Four times, the Spirit of the Lord is mentioned in reference to what Samson was able to perform. Four times, the scripture says, the Spirit came on him and he was able to accomplish the mighty deeds that we read about. It happened through the Spirit. However, in addition to the repetition of the Spirit of the Lord, there is another word that appears in the record of Samson. Six times, the word bind appears. And we know his final days were spent with him being bound by fetters of brass in the prison house of the Philistines as he was grinding in the prison house. What a terrible end for that to come to this man who had the Spirit of the Lord ministering through him. Now, let's just look for a moment at how he came to that place, how he arrived at that point in his life. The great deeds being done, and all of that in his history, and being a judge in Israel at this time. How did he arrive at this place? We see the final steps being taken in the house of Delilah. She was paid, the Bible says, to find out how to bind him. And a great sum of several individuals was passed to her to say, find out how we can bind him so that we can afflict him. And she wasn't even very subtle about her purpose. She let Samson know right off, this is what I want to know. How do we bind you so that we can afflict you? Now, if somebody were to tell you that, I want to find out how I can bind you. And it's not so that I can tickle you. It's not so that I can tease or tempt or anything like that. It's so I can afflict you. Wouldn't it make sense to say, bye, sorry, I don't need to be spending my time here. I don't need to be involved with you. Seems like that would have been the quick and automatic response by Samson. Delilah said to him, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Well, thy great strength is obviously flattery. But the warning should have been loud and clear, whereby thou mightest be bound to afflict. Maybe, however, Samson thought, look what I've done. The gates are up on the hill, 1,000 graves, a dead lion, can't bind me. And so he began the little game. Bind me with 7 fresh cords. Now, other translations render that as bowstrings. Bowstrings that were resilient, that were tough. They wouldn't. They would be dried, and actually they were pieces of gut from the animals that they slaughtered, and that's how they made their bowstring. So he's telling her, you can bind me with 7 bowstrings. And then we know the story. That didn't keep him bound. Then he told her, bind me with new ropes. And each time the Philistines were lying in wait to attack. 3 times this scene was played out. Samson, you can't play with being bound. You can't play this game of temptation. You can't play with fire and not get burned. It's gonna come back and get you. Well, Delilah continued her purpose. 3 times already she had shown what she was like. And the Bible says, she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Well, then get out of there. Don't sit around and wait and see what else she's going to do. Don't try to outwit her. Don't try to repeat the acts of deliverance and power and might, and you're going to take care of those Philistines no matter how many of them are lying in wait to attack. But he continued the game until she learned his strength, lulled him to sleep, and cut off his hair. 1 Corinthians 11 has symbols involved in it. Let me just throw this in real quick. 1 Corinthians 11, symbols. Communion, the cup and the bread. Symbols that we honor, symbols that we partake of again and again. But that's not the first symbol that is included there. God bless you ladies for understanding how important it was important to Samson. It was necessary for him. There was a Nazarite vow that he was participating in. There was something that he was committed to from a baby on to adulthood. There was the necessity of him understanding how important it is that he showed his dedication to God through that symbol of hair. God bless you, ladies, for standing in that place and recognizing that symbol is important to God. That symbol is important for power. That symbol is necessary in my standing to the Lord. God bless you, ladies, for recognizing how important that is. Samson knew it was important, but here he is asleep to the point that He didn't even awaken when his symbol of devotion was being cut off. Now, he thought he could do his mighty deeds again. He thought, I will, as times before, shake myself and do what I've always done. But this time, he was lacking the dedication. He was lacking the symbol of the Nazarite vow. He was lacking in his purpose and in his place before God. And some of the saddest words in the Bible, some of the saddest phrases that you will find in the Word of God, Judges 16 and 20, he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He did not even know. He did not even have a clue of how his playing with temptation, his playing with sin, being where he should not have been, finally was going to bind him. He awoke, he shook himself, he thought, I'm going to do just like other times. But the Philistines' actions showed no mercy. They put out his eyes. They bound him. They mocked him. They made him grind day after day. And then finally, there came the last time that Samson prays. And no doubt he prayed often and many times as he went around and around. Fetters of brass. The people mocking him. And no doubt soldiers coming in and laughing at him and carrying on. And they didn't let him do that in isolation. No, they were there to mock and to just heap disdain upon him time and time again. But finally, Samson would pray, remember me. Then he would also pray, strengthen me. And he destroyed more of the enemy in his death than he did in his life. Thank God there was an ending there in which he was avenged. Thank God there was a way that God turned it around again. But we're left to wonder how much more could have Samson done as a young man growing into an older man in his service to the Lord. How much more could he have done? But the strong man was bound. Amen. Now, Elena shared from the book of Daniel about some Hebrew heroes that we look at who were bound as they were thrown into the fiery furnace. The dilemma of the contemporary colleagues of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is one that we turn to time and again. The king's command was to bow down when you hear the sounds that require you to bow before the image, but they wouldn't bow. They said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. And that must have incensed the king even more. What do you mean there's a power greater than me? What do you mean there's a God who can deliver out of my hand? And no doubt, if he wanted to, he could list all of the others that he had conquered, all of the others who did not provide prayer answers for those who called upon their deities. And he could mock the God of the Hebrews. But we know the story. And it's interesting to read how that in the New American Standard Version, it says they were tied up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, and other clothes. They're going into a fiery furnace. It's heated 7 times hotter. Why did they need to put all the clothes on them? I guess from the idea that we're going to annihilate you, we're going to eliminate any evidence that you were ever here, there's nobody that's going to remember you or know about you, that's it. You've made the biggest mistake of your life, and your life is shortened even now. As the word came to him, okay, king, it's heated 7 times hotter. We're ready. Tie them up. Throw them bound into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. Amen. And then the king's question. The king's command was followed, but now the king's question could probably not be answered in any other way except to say, it's the hand of God. Was it not three that we cast bound into the burning fiery furnace, into the midst of the fire. I see poor men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. Oh, thank God that we can understand the hand of God will be there when you are going through that seemingly fiery furnace, when there are times of difficulty, and there are times of discouragement, and there are times of severe persecution, and it seems as though your faith is going to be at an end. I'm glad to know that the hand of God will be there to minister to you. The presence of God will be there to help you. The touch of God will be there to lift you up. Praise God. And keep you moving and walking as you serve him. Then the decree was made again by the king. It made a decree, first of all, to fall before that image. But now he makes another decree. He said, there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way. Thank God, the three young Hebrews said, our God is able to deliver us. And now the king is verifying it with his decree. There's no other God who is able to deliver. Praise God. Amen. Now, let's consider this. Not all binding is bad. Not all of it is bad. Jesus told about a certain man who journeyed from Jerusalem to Jericho. And in that journey, he was set upon by thieves who robbed him. They beat him. They left him half dead. And then in his state of injured condition, in the horrible state that he was left in, a certain priest sees him in his condition, the fact that he is beaten, he's been robbed, he's half dead, and he passes by on the other side. The same with a Levite. Jesus specifically mentions it's a priest and a Levite who passed by on the other side. Now, what's the significance there? The significance is that religion is not going to get it done. Religion as a form and as a ceremony is not going to accomplish what you need to have. Thank God that there was somebody, a certain Samaritan, who stopped and ministered to the needs of that man. He saw him. He had compassion on him. He was willing to interrupt his schedule, interrupt his journey, went to him and bound up his wounds, Jesus said, pouring in oil and wine. The medicinal use of those things there to help him. He put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. He was bound or bandaged up. The good Samaritan paid 2 pence to the innkeeper and said, when I come again, I will repay thee with you have given more. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful that the Lord doesn't leave us on the roadside. The Lord doesn't leave us in a hurt and damaged condition. The Lord doesn't leave us in a place where sin has ravaged us and just left us half dead. I'm thankful that he picks us up, praise God, and binds up our wounds. He provides exactly what we need. He brings us to the church. Amen. He puts us under the care of a pastor. He provides 2 pence, salvation and healing, the very things that we need that cannot be bought as a commodity or off the shelf or with any kind of funds that we could manage to put together. Thank God he provides that. And he tells us, I'm coming back and I will repay you. Thank the Lord that there is power and blessing that the Lord ministers to us. Praise God. Now, Isaiah 61 and 1. Jesus read this passage of scripture when he was in the synagogue. Isaiah 61 and 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. This was hope for the Hebrews. This is what they held on to when they prayed for the Messiah to come. The brokenhearted needed to be bound up. Those bound in prison needed to come into liberty. Praise God. I'm thankful that as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath in his hometown of Nazareth. And he read from this scroll of Isaiah. And they wondered, the Bible says, at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Thank God they were gracious words. Thank God they were words of hope. They were words of fulfillment of the prophecy. But I'm thankful the Lord combines his work with his word. Amen. I'm thankful that his word does work because he healed the brokenhearted. We talk about the Good Samaritan. We also can focus on a bad Samaritan. In John chapter 4, there was that bad Samaritan who'd been married 5 times, and the one she was with now was not her husband. But the Lord reached out to that bad Samaritan and healed her broken heart. Thank God the Lord knows how to do that kind of work. The deliverance to the captives came about when he set the man who was captive of demons with 1,000 of them within him. But the Gadarean was made whole. He was made clean. He was delivered. Thank God, because the Lord came to preach deliverance to the captives. Bartimaeus received his sight because of the recovering of sight to the blind that Jesus said would be fulfilled. The woman with the issue of blood, who had had so much pain, so much suffering, so much difficulty, so much that she went through, and all of her funds being exhausted, all of the various kinds of regimens and so on, medicines that she subjected herself to, but nothing did any good. All of her hope bruised, all of her future bruised, as it were. But thank God, Jesus set her at liberty, and she was healed of that issue of blood. Oh, my God knows how to combine his word with his works, and his word works. Praise God. Amen. Thank God for his binding. There's power in the name of Jesus. You believe in one God, you do well. The devils believe and tremble. Tremble. Amen. The evil spirit said in Acts 19 and 15, Jesus I know. Thank God they know who he is. They know the power of his name. They know the power of the name of Jesus for deliverance and for answered prayer. Thank God we can bind the strong man in the name of Jesus. We can bind Satan in the name of Jesus. He comes with his temptations. He comes with his distractions. He comes with all the things that would try to destroy me. But in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, there can be a binding of the strong man named Satan, and we step forward into victory. Moreover, I read in the end of the book, in Revelation, that Satan will be bound in a bottomless pit. There is one angel who has the key to the bottomless pit. That one angel has a chain in which he is going to bind the dragon, the serpent, the devil, Satan, for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. Thank God that we know the power of the Lord that is going to be fulfilled. And a lake of fire is his destination. The devil that deceived, the devil that destroyed, the devil that distracted will be cast into a lake of fire and brimstone, tormented day and night forever and ever. Thank God. The word of the Lord. But strength. Strength is a theme that you will find in the word of God again and again. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Praise God. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm thankful for the promise of the word of God. It's good to wait on the Lord. Amen. Because you get your strength renewed. You won't be weary. You won't faint. Amen. Daniel knew about being strong. He had strong character. He had strong commitment. And he wrote about people being strong in Daniel 11. It was a prophecy that had a pre-fulfillment, and it will have a fulfillment that is yet to come. The pre-fulfillment was a Syrian king named Antiochus Epiphanes. And if you study prophecy, there's a whole bunch of things that goes on there. We don't have time to go into it. But also know there is an Antichrist who is coming, who will fulfill the stipulations of Daniel 11. But thank God, verse 32 lets us know, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Know God and know strength. Hallelujah. Thank God that there can be the strength that we know that comes from the Lord. and exploits, and not a mistaken inclusion there in that scripture. But don't just think. Don't just plan. Do the exploits that God is talking about here. Hallelujah. God told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." I don't want to hear about weakness. I've got too much weakness. I've struggled with weakness. I need strength, Lord. And the Lord's saying, "I've got strength for you in your weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness." So then Paul realized the truth about the power of Christ. The power of Christ rests upon me. When I am weak, then am I strong. Praise God. If we could learn that principle, if we could learn to apply what the Lord taught the Apostle Paul and be able to move on in that realm, claiming his grace being sufficient. Now we know what Paul said in Philippians 4:13. We know that simple little verse, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." But the Amplified really amplifies it. And I'm glad for it. "I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency." In the sufficiency that he gives me, I can keep on going. I can do. Again, not just think, not just plan. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Strengthens me? Yeah, he strengthened Daniel. He strengthened Samson for that last bit of revenge. He strengthened the three young Hebrews. He'll strengthen you. Put yourself in that verse. He strengthens me. He strengthened the Apostle Paul. God's grace is sufficient. Thank God that we can know the power of the Lord. And as though Paul wants to give an example of that strength, as though he wants them to understand that right now, today, God's strength will be sufficient for you. He ends the chapter by talking about all the saints saluting you, the necessity of unity, not being divided, not being set aside, not pushing yourself, others away and moving yourself into a place of obscurity. No, no. All the saints salute you, he said. And then he gave an example of strength. Chiefly, they that are of Caesar's household. Did you catch it? There's believers in Caesar's palace. There's saints who are staying in Caesar's household. They've been baptized in Jesus' name. They've been filled with the Holy Ghost. They're walking according to the principles of the Word of God. It doesn't matter that Caesar is proclaiming himself God. It doesn't matter that Caesar is persecuting the Christians. Right in his own household, there are those who... That takes strength, friend. And God gave them that strength, just like he'll give you strength. Amen. Amen. Thank God that you can be strong. Now, we had one of these young men come up here and take some of that old fishing line that we were picking up yesterday out of the Kenai riverbanks. And some of it is still pretty strong, but most of it you can yank on it and snap it. It's been there all winter long, and ice and snow and so on have been on it. We greet one of these young men up here, and we wrap their hands together with just a couple of strands of that string, and they're able to flex their muscles and pop that string, nothing flat. And we can ooh and ah and applaud. Wow. But we wrap it 20 times, 50 times, 100 times. Same little string that they popped so easily. But now, because of the strength, the multiplied strength of those wrappings, they're not able to burst, not able to break. They're bound. That's exactly how the devil tries to deceive with his works. Oh, one little time, one little thing, one little incident, that's not going to matter. That's no problem. But the devil lulls you to sleep just like Samson was, and he continues the rapping until you're bound. Don't let Satan bind you as a strong man and a strong woman serving God. Don't let Satan bind you and spoil you. Amen. He tried to bind Christ to the cross. He tried to trap him in a tomb. But thank God the Lord came forth victorious, proving again and again that he is a strong man, a strong God who's able to minister to you, who's able to lift you up, able to bring you forth. Praise God. I'm thankful the Bible tells us, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Thank God that we can know the strength that comes from God and stand in the power of his might. Amen. Would you stand with me? God bless you today. Joshua is about to begin a new chapter in his life. Faithfully he has followed Moses. Faithfully he has served that man of God. And now the mantle of responsibility has fallen upon him. Joshua, you're going to lead now. Moses is gone. You're going to take the people of Israel across the Jordan. You're going to conquer the land. You're going to go forth. The responsibility must have seemed quite an awesome load to him. And that's why four times in Joshua chapter 1, the words, be strong, are included. Be strong. Three times the Lord speaks that to Joshua and to the people of Israel. Be strong. And the last time the people repeated back, be strong. They got the message. They heard what was being spoken to Joshua. Joshua and the people of God stepped forward in a great endeavor to obey and receive the promises of God. And God blessed them over and over. Praise God. Be strong. Thank the Lord that we can be strong in the Lord today and know the strength that he desires to give us. Hallelujah. No, I'm not going to let the devil bind me. His flattery, his distraction, with his lulling to sleep, no, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to be strong for the Lord. Praise God. Not divided. Not moving away from unity, no, moving into unity, because unity means victory. Amen. Serving the Lord in that way. Thank God that we can know the strength that the Lord provides for us. Did the devil bind him to the cross? No. Love kept him there. Love for you and love for me kept him on that cross. Because he knew that was the only way the price of salvation could be paid. And he paid it in his own blood. And thank God the tomb is empty today. Resurrection that we can celebrate not just on Easter, but every day. Hallelujah. Knowing he is powerful. He is alive. He is ministering. He is answering. He is fulfilling his word. Praise God. And we can be drawn closer to him again. Thank the Lord. I'm glad to know that his power is not diminished. But the strength that we need from him is available today. Praise God. Turn to him for the strength. Just like the three young Hebrews said, we're not going to bow down. God will deliver us. But even if there isn't deliverance, we're still not going to bow down. They had that strength. Because they knew the God they served. Thank God that we know his name today. Jesus. Jesus. Let's just raise our hands to him right now. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we need the strength that comes from you. We need the strength, Lord, that we receive from you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The strength, God, that we receive from you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Infuse us with your spirit. Let your spirit come upon us, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let your spirit abide within us, Lord. Oh, God, that we can do the work that you desire us to do. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And we can be strong in you, Lord, and in the power of your might. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. In your great name, Jesus, in your great name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Amen. I know the temptations are many. I know the voices are loud and calling into the way of the world. I know those things come because they happen to me just like they happen to you. But thank God, there's strength that we can receive from the Lord. We don't have to be bound by the devil's temptations and all of his garbage. Thank God we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I'd like for you to come and spend some time in prayer here today as we reach out to the Lord for his goodness, as we desire his touch in our lives, as we reach out for his strength, not to be lulled asleep in the lap of the world, but to move into the fiery realm of his spirit and his power. And let his goodness come in our midst. Thank God, because that's what he desires to do. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's reach out to the Lord together. Whatever strength you need from God today, receive it from him and let his power and let his blessing come in your midst. Let the touch of the Lord strengthen you. Let the blessings of God flow in you. Hallelujah. Thank God that we can know his power, that we can know his goodness, that we can be lifted up in him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, we glorify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let the Lord bind you closer to him. Let the Lord bind you with his love, with his mercy, with his blood, with his name, with his spirit. Let the Lord bind you closer to him now as you desire his touch in your life. Oh, Jesus, we need you. Jesus, we need you. Let your power, let your goodness, let your touch, let your strength come in our midst, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, la bona ni ama sala la bunda la 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 Let the Lord strengthen you now. Let the Lord strengthen you. Reach out for his power. Reach out for his goodness. Let his touch come to your life. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Yes, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Above the flood, God, oh God, to walk in your presence, to stand upon your word, to serve you, Lord God, in the grace and truth that you bring to me today. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Carry us when we can. took back what he stole from me. I took back what he stole.